They said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here today. They said that I would never amount to anything. But I am glad to say that I am on my way. I am growing more and more each day. There were many that started out with me, but they are now gone astray. But I'm still holding on. I'm still holding on. I'm still holding on to His hand. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. Oh. You see, when I was very young, I gave God my hand. And I told Him, please lead the way. Although my road has been rough, sometime my going get mighty tough, but that's alright. I'm not going nowhere. I'm out here to stay. All that I've been talked about, I've been lied on and criticized. There have been so many times I had to wipe tears from my eyes. But oh, I'm still holding on, Jesus. I'm still holding on, oh Lord. And I'm still holding on to His hand. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. Through my trials and through tribulation, I'm still holding Your Lord. I'm still in God's holy plan. I am, oh Lord. And I am bound for the promised land. And I will never let go of His hand. Through my trials and tribulation, I'll never let go. Because I gave God my word. Thanking You, Lord. I thank you for my trials, Lord. I know I'm bound for the promised land, Lord, and I'll never. I gave God my word, even though my way may not be clear. I'll never. Although I've been criticized, I've been lied on, I've been talked about, but I will never.
Praise the Lord. How many of you this morning are still holding on? Holy Father God, I come before you this morning. Yes. With a humble heart, asking forgiveness, asking that you permit your spirit to use me this morning, Lord God, to speak to your people. The song that my sister sung this morning, it's one of my favorite songs. It goes to the core of my soul. And it reminds me of where I've been and where God has brought me from and where I'm going. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. To our pastor, to the pulpit ministers, to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to speak to you this morning on a subject that we don't hear a lot about, and that subject is the cross. If you just bear with me. The title of my sermon this morning is going to be The Compelling Power of the Cross. First Peter 2 and 24. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed.
Amen.
My friends, the cross, or the death of Jesus Christ, is the most significant event that this world has ever witnessed. It is the Magna Charta of Christianity. It is the Oscar of the religious world. It is the center theme of the Bible. Yet to some people, the cross means absolutely nothing. Help me, Holy Ghost. A young boy once accompanied his mother to worship. And during the sermon, the boys were listening very attentively to the sermon that the pastor was preaching. He was preaching on the crucifixion of Christ. It was so moving that the boy began to weep. Soon he began to cry out loud, and his mother became so embarrassed that she whispered to him, "Don't take it so seriously." How many today do not take the cross seriously? Some people think that the cross was some boring historical account that had no meaning in life and the 21st century. Well, my brothers and sisters, the cross has meaning. It has significant meanings. And we need to start taking the cross of Christ more seriously. We need to embrace the value of the cross. For Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that no one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who have lived no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 14th through the 15th verse. The cross has a compelling power. It compels us to live not for ourselves, but for the Lord. We are not on this earth to do as we please. We are here to live for Jesus and to do whatever he wants us to do. His love should compel us to return that love back to him. This morning, I'm going to present 3 points on the compelling power of the cross. But before I do that, I want to say this. I thank Pastor for letting me speak this morning. It is the spirit that I feel this morning so strongly. I don't know how you feel, but I'm hoping and praying that you allow the Holy Spirit have his way with you this morning. I am hoping and praying that you will pay attention to what I'm going to tell you, because rest assured, Christ died for you. And I believe within the depths of my heart and soul that you take it too lightly. When Jesus died on the cross outside the city of Jerusalem over 200,000 years ago, something extraordinarily happened. When Jesus died, he put away the sins by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:26, in other words, his death and the blood that he shared makes it possible for us to forgive, forgiving of our sins. Also, through his death, Jesus opened up the doors which at one time separated man from God. These thoughts should stir our souls. They should cause us to appreciate what our Savior did for us and respond with a deep sense of gratitude. You cannot thank God too much for what he has done for you. You cannot thank God too much for what he has truly done for you. Because if it had not been for him, you wouldn't even be here. And I believe with the depths of my soul that he raised you up this morning out of your bed, and to make sure that you were in your health and strength to the point where you could come out to serve him. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to acknowledge the fact that he died for you on the cross. How often do you thank the Lord for the blessing that he has bestowed upon you? How often do you say, "Thank you, God, for one more hour"? Thank you, Holy Father God, for one more day. Yes. For some of us might have walked woke up this morning and they didn't take the opportunity to thank God for one more day. But when I think about the fact that him hanging on this cross for me, for you, and none of us deserve it, not one of us, for the pain and the suffering that he endured for each and every one of us in the entire world. Can you imagine what the Lord feel like when we show him little or no gratitude for what he did for us? How many of you remember the story of the 10 leopards? Out of that 10 who was healed, only one returned to thank Jesus. Jesus asked, were there not 10 clean? Where are the other 9? How many people here today are saved? And how many people are here giving God thanks and praises for the crucifixion of his son? We have to stop and remember who he was, who he still is, and why we are here on this earth. We are not here to celebrate every day for our own personal gain. We are not here for that purpose. We are not here for that purpose. Some of us have got so caught up in self until we have already forgotten the cross and what Jesus did for each and every one of us. We spend days after days, weeks after weeks, and months after months seeking the things that satisfy us. Help me, Holy Ghost. If Jesus was to take his hands off the United States of America, rest assured, we would go straight to hell. God expects us to be grateful and express thanks to him. The cross should compel us to give thanks to the Lord every single day of our lives for the great blessings that we receive from him. Please turn your Bible to the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, and the 21st through the 27th verse. That is Matthew, the 16th chapter, the 21st through the 27th. This passage reveals a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples about the cross. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and be risen to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what he has done. Listen, God is the one that makes the final decision. My advice to all my brothers and sisters in Christ, do not spend your earthly time focusing on you. You need to focus on God You need to focus on his son, and you need to focus on the Holy Spirit. Because without him, you can never enter into the kingdom of heaven. If we are going to be true followers and disciples of Jesus, we must deny ourselves. What does it mean? I'm glad you asked. Jesus gives us a definition of what it means to deny self. It is to mind the things of God's will first in our lives. We must put on our own personal desires aside and first acknowledge God. How many of us do that? Ask yourself these questions. How much time do I spend with God out of 24 hours a day? And I guarantee you, your answer will be, I spend more time satisfying self than I do glorifying God. We have to put things in order. We must put things in order. When we look at the cross, we see the superior example of self-denial. According to Luke 22:42, it appears that Jesus did not want to die on the cross. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. He was willing to die for every one of us. But he also was human when he went to the cross. But he put nothing, even his death, before his Father's will. Jesus was hoping that his Father had another plan for redemption instead of the cross. But even though that Jesus asked God to remove the cup of suffering from him, the bottom line, however, was that Jesus had the mindset to be obedient to the Father's will and not to seek his own. Jesus put God and his will first before his own will. We need to learn to follow the example of Jesus. We need to put his will first before our own. My brother and sister, it is time for us to start putting God's will ahead of our own will. We need to get our priorities straight in our lives. What's more important, doing God's will or doing our own will? According to Jesus, it is God's will, serving the Lord, far more important than serving self. It is possible that some of us may need to make some changes in our lives to get our priorities in order. It's never too late. Let's deny ourselves. Let us take up our cross and once again follow Jesus wholeheartedly. The cross compels self-denial. The cross of Christ teaches that man cannot make it to heaven by himself. We cannot pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and get into heaven by our own effort. If so, it would be as though one went to the foot of the cross and told Jesus, you don't need to die for my sin. I can make it without your death. Of course, this is totally nonsense. For every person is in need of Jesus. Every person is in need of Jesus to be saved. I am the way, he says, the truth and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. If we know this, do we practice this? If we know this, do we want to get to heaven? Do we desire to truly get into heaven? Do we desire to go to heaven and be with God? If so, there has to be some changes made in the heart of man. We must realize no matter what we are doing here on this earth, God must always be first in everything that we do. In everything that we do. Brothers and sisters, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross had a compelling power. The demonstration of love on our behalf should compel us to do many things. It should compel us to show gratitude, to deny ourselves and put God first in everything, and to have a heart that recognizes the need to have the Lord in our lives every day, all day long. Perhaps you have been guilty or neglecting the power of the cross. Perhaps you have failed to recognize that you need the cleansing of the holy power of the cross. But there is good news. You can start over today. If you are not a Christian, and you can become one this morning. The first step to becoming a Christian is to recognize that you are a sinner. And that you need the Lord to cleanse your sins and heal your broken heart. Then you must be willing to repent and turn away from your sins and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. For the Bible says in the book of Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Maybe you are already a Christian, but have not shown the proper respect and gratitude towards the cross by living faithfully for God. We would love to pray for you and for you this morning and help you in any way that we can. For God loves you and He is God that forgives. If we can help you for any reason this morning, please come and let us pray for you and with you. I need to say this because this is important. A lot of times we're so selfish because it is a spirit. Selfishness is a spirit that is not of God. And that spirit will hinder us for doing what we know that must be done in order to serve the Lord with the whole heart. So I say this morning to you, do not be afraid to acknowledge the fact and to put God first and foremost in anything and everything in your life. Amen. For you have no life if you don't have God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank my pastor. And I hope you were able to receive something that will help you in your walk with the Lord.
And all the people of God said amen.
Amen.
The compelling power of the cross.
Amen.
We stand in gratitude. We stand in acknowledging that without the cross, we would be lost. Thank you, Reverend Williams, for sharing with us this morning. The door to my Father's house is standing open.
Oh,
welcome Sandra Windham. She comes asking for prayer, and the Bible tells us that the elders pray. Amen. So we invite all of our deacons and those of you in the congregation who choose to come to stand with her and to surround her in prayer. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And you are worthy to be praised. We thank you for the compelling power of the cross. We come now to pray for Sandra Windham. We thank you for her courage to stand before this body of Christ that we call Second Baptist. We thank you for her spirit of humility, for she comes as a daughter of the true and living God. We pray your blessings upon her. We know not what her needs are, but we know that one thing she needs, and that is the blessing of the Almighty God. And so, our God, whatever she needs, the word tells us that you have it. For the cattle of 1,000 hills belong to you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So we thank you that she comes out of a need that you can meet. We pray, our God, for her health. For you are the balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. She comes because she's been wounded, maybe by friends, maybe by family, maybe by those who did not see in her the spirit of the living God. But we thank you that that spirit, the spirit of wholeness, the spirit of love, the spirit of grace, the spirit of mercy, the spirit of forgiveness is in the name of Jesus. So we come now to call upon the name of a name that is above every name. So we thank you this day for Jesus the Christ, who accepts everyone. Thank you for the love of God. You loved us so until you gave your son and he gave his life. So we come out of need. Bless now Sandra. Lift her up. Restore unto her the joy of living. Restore unto her that has been taken away from her. That when she leaves this place, she will leave this place saying, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Christ, who paid the price. Thank you. Where she lives, we pray that there will be peace. Where she works, we pray that there will be cooperation. Where she worships, we pray that the name of Jesus will be lifted. Bless now those who gather around her. We thank you for every person that has come to say to Sandra, we love Christ. We love you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your humility. Thank you for your meekness. We bless now this your servant, Sandra Windham. Order her steps in your word, and order our steps in your word. And there are those who stand with her who also have needs. We pray that you would meet every need. In the name of Christ, we pray. And now dismiss us with your grace, with your mercy, with your love, with your forgiveness. Take us safely to our destinations. Be in our fellowship. Bless the food that we shall receive and the word of God that will come through the Sunday school teachers. For it's in the precious name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God who love God said amen. Amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Hallelujah. Josephine Barnes, it's good to see you today.